Without saying, there's so many things to keep in prayer, you know, just for things going on around the world and whatnot. And I know you guys are doing that, so don't give up on prayer, you know. Keep in prayer. It seems like sometimes it's the more you pray, there's more things to pray about. Or you're just like, well, Lord, how much more do we need to pray about this? It just keeps going and getting sometimes worse. But, you know, the darkest hour is just before morning. And so some of those times it's just like we got to be able to pray through some situations and maybe have patience in our prayer times, you know, that we realize that it's not what I want to see when I want to see it. It's got to be what God wants when God wants it to develop and come to completion, and knowing that he's there in control. So there's just a lot of things taking place around, you know, this past week. Even the tragedy out in Oregon at that college, community college out there, number of students killed and wounded, and how that took place. You just never know, do you? And that's where we got to keep our nation in prayer. We've got to keep our kids in prayer, our schools in prayer, and just cover this whole place with, you know, God's protection from north to south, east to west, you know. And Lord, may we not hear another story like that on our news for a long time. But I say that knowing that probably the way society and things are going, that it's getting to be almost like a every 2 or 3 month thing. I was thinking just the other day, and nowadays the flag has been at half staffs for so many situations around things happening that it almost like might as well just keep the flag at half staff 365 days out of the year now, in memory of someone that has died, in memory of somebody's military service, in memory of a massacre, in memory of shootings, in memory of this person and all that, because it just gets to be every week or every 2 or 3 days I get an alert saying, lower the flag, lower the flag, you know. Has anybody else gone around town and seen flags down, and do you really even know why they're down? Is it just me? I mean, years ago in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s when the flag was down, it was pretty well a big thing. It's like a president had died, a general had died, or something had happened, you know, that was monumental. And it was like, wow, because the flag maybe was at half staff in a year's time, maybe twice. Three times. I don't know. I'm just making up a number. But anymore now, I see it and I drive around, as you do, I'm sure, around town, and I see it at different places, and I'm thinking, wow, I wonder why that flag's at half staff. Who died? What important situation has happened? It's not to say that they don't deserve it, but I think sometimes we get to the point to where it kind of gets it to be just a normal routine thing now, you know, of recognizing lives that have been lost. And I don't have an answer. I don't have it needs to be up or down or whatever. I'm just saying we're beginning to see a commonality in our society of this is tragedy and it's a day-on, day-by-day thing now. Shouldn't ought to be. Hadn't always been. And somehow we've flipped over from a life that we seemed, and maybe as we've gotten older, we notice more dangers and things in the world. And when I know I've heard more things on the news now after I got to be 35, 40, 50 than when I was at 8, 9, and 12 years old. I really didn't stand or sit in front of the TV and watched Walter Cronkite or Harry Reasoner or some of those guys back then to find out what was going on, you know, because I had more important things to do. Play. Go outside. Be with my friends. But I tend to believe and think that even in today's age, our kids of 7 and 8 and 12 and 13 know a lot more of the tragedies going on in this world than we did back at that time. Yep. News media, the social web, all these things that are out there. And so we find that everybody is on this fast pace of life and what's happening in our world, in our country. I was going to say, I don't have an answer for that, but I do have an answer for that. We need more of Jesus. Now, Jesus can't give himself any more than what he has already done, right? But what it is that we need to have society understand that they are missing something, and that missing something is that they're missing Christ. And that if we can have Christ come into the situation, things would change. I just know that I know that things would change if Christ was invited in to several people's hearts. Yeah. If Christ was invited in to our government, if Christ was invited in to our local agencies and our local and state groups and things, I just know. Is it just me that I know, or do you know? I believe we know that there would be a difference and there would be a change. But it seems like at the times that when we need him the most is when we're the furthest away from him. Maybe not us personally, you know, but us as a society, for however it has developed. And the thing is, guys, it just didn't develop just like 3 years ago. This is something that has been developing from the beginning of time. And so we find ourselves at a time frame and where God's cosmos time and where he's at and his creation and how we fit into it and how we play into it is an important thing. And my hope and trust and prayer and desire and all these things that I could put out there is that I hope that each and every one of us here today can find that within ourselves that we play an important part in the kingdom of God. And that Jesus didn't come just to die and just to hang on a cross and go up to heaven. He came with a plan and a purpose that was set back before the foundations of this time, before the foundations of the world, that God had already prepared before he created this place. For he already had the answer. And that's exciting because we've got the answer. Isn't that it? We've got the answer. Now, you go out in your jobs and places and families and you tell them, I've got the answer, it's Jesus. Well, they'll look at you like you're, what wagon did you just fall off of? What religious organization are you from that's wackos, you know, and things like that? Because isn't that something that I believe that if Jesus was even walking this place in person today, they would be saying the same thing. What is that guy speaking about of a kingdom that's to come? Who is he? Is he here to take over the country? Is he here to take over our government? Is he here to take over the world's government? You know? And that's what it was back then when Jesus was here, that they thought, well, what's this kingdom he's talking about? Rono, it's cold, isn't it? Sit a little bit closer. I have to stand up and do exercises or something like that, you know. Okay. But anyway, you know, we get into this, and we'll try to have the heat on next week if it warrants it, okay? I mean, we've got full tanks out there. It's not like we don't have fuel. We got that all bought, so it's okay. But we come into this time, and really, you know, even if Jesus were here and walking the streets and the highways and the byways, he would be persecuted as he was back then. He would be mocked, and those of leadership would probably look at him as a threat. And those of the religious, could you imagine some of our churches in our community, what they would do? Oh, man, get that zealot out of here. He's crazy. He's trying to turn everybody on us, you know? We got the answer. We got the rules. We got the regulations. We know what God wants, you know? So it's nothing different from then to now. Maybe it's just because we've gotten older and we see it with the age and the eyes of an understanding of things. But we can look at this and desire these things and know that we have an important part to play in our Christian walk. We cannot be just Christians. I'm a Christian because I go to church. I can't be a Christian just because I pay my tithes. I can't be a Christian just because I believe God. I know there's a God in control of all this. You know, there's something more to being that Christian to show people out there. And we don't want to even be, you know, it's gotten kind of sad, guys, that I almost don't even want to call myself a Christian because I've heard people out there call themselves Christian and I see what they're saying and doing or not doing. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, when I say I'm a Christian, people are going to think not because of who I am, because I don't have that notoriety, or I'm not out there where people can hear or see on the news, but they hear and see some of these things that are out there where people say, well, I'm a Christian, but they're so far from it. And I don't know, I'm not really judging them other than I do look at them and I compare what they're saying or doing, comparing to what Jesus did or what Jesus' word says, and I go, there's something not quite right there. And so now I come with kind of intrepidation, is that what that word is? to say I'm a Christian. You almost have to go to the point now to say that I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Does that make you a Christian? Well, if that's what you think that is, yes, that would be Christ-like. So we've got to be, because somehow we've put all kinds of names and things and titles out there. And I'm afraid, as sad as it is, but as normal as it is, whatever was titled as good, the devil or the world will put that good as bad and the bad as good. And so somehow we may have lost contact with the title of Christian has been muddied and drugged through the mud through that of the world and the terminology. And so now we look at that as, I don't know if I want to be that. Well, how could that be? Well, I remember when I was growing up, if I said I was gay, it meant that I was happy. Now, if I were to go out there and say, hey, I'm gay, you go, who? You like the same sex? No. You know? And that's just a quick analogy of how fast the world takes the words that meant one thing and puts a spin on it that means totally different now. And so as a follower of Christ, I got to be careful sometimes of what I portray and what I say and what people think already. But I know that as a kingdom kid, that if I just keep my mindset on the kingdom of God, that should help me, should help you. Because there's kingdom ideas and kingdom things that God requires, that God has given to us, that we need to facilitate and be a part of, even when we are just sojourners through this place. That they ought to be able to look at you and say, you are not of this place. You don't talk like the rest of us. And I'm not talking about being down south or the north, okay? Because you can surely tell when you go down south that people say, you're not from down. They go, you're not from down here, are you? You go, no, I'm not. You're from the north, aren't you? Like, well, yeah. I can start talking southern if you like. You know, I watched Andy Griffith. Shazam! Shazam! You know, and we can do that to kind of blend in a little bit. We kind of do that with the kingdom of God sometimes. We play kingdom stuff, you know, and we portray those things. But, you know, so people know by your dialect, by what you talk, by how you say things, kind of like where you're from. And so we, being from another kingdom, we have a different terminology and talk. And it's not that it's that wacky or that far out. It's just a different concept, right? It's just the way we look at things. So we've been looking at some of these kingdom thoughts, bringing it before yourselves and myself as well. And we've talked about, you know, how to experience it, how to receive it. And I just want to touch really quickly today as we jump into, you know, how do we enter into this? Last week we talked about it. It's by experiencing that new birth. It's by receiving that gift that Jesus gave us, you know, that God gave us through that of Christ, that for he so loved the world. And then we just got into 1 Thessalonians. I might have shared that really quickly last week, about responding to God's call. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, and it says that you would walk worthy of God. Let's go, I'm going to start to 10. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you in to his own kingdom and glory. We've got to get a mindset that we are in a different kingdom. Some of us in our churches, we haven't deciphered that out. We haven't separated that ourselves to think that, no, although I'm here, I'm not part of what's going on in this world of things that is falling apart. But I am here to make a difference. I don't know what that difference is. God has put a charge upon all of us for some plan and purpose to be here, huh? Aren't we here for a reason? You know, you're not just here to breathe oxygen and to fill up the landfill with plastic. You're here for a reason and a purpose to expand the kingdom of God. Now, God expands the kingdom, and it's already where he wants it to be, and it's going to be there. But what we are to do is to go and be ambassadors of that kingdom. We hear that word, you know, you're ambassadors. So we are in a foreign country, and we've gone through this many times before when we went through the kingdom concept with Miles Monroe 5 or 6 years ago, that we are ambassadors. We're in a foreign land with a directive of what we're to do. We're to bring the things of the kingdom of God into that place and represent that, just like an ambassador does when they are in a foreign land, being an ambassador from the United States to a land of whatever, you name it, wherever the country is at. And we've learned in the past that wherever that country is at, and wherever that ambassador, male or female, wherever she is, and she's got the designation that you're the ambassador, you're representing the United States in a foreign land, that we as a foreign country are going to build a building there, and within the property of that building confines, that is actually United States territory. Correct? Because it goes by that little building, that plot of land, wherever I'm at representing the United States, is America. And the values that America has is transferred to that little space on that corner of that street or wherever I'm at as an ambassador. That's why when people back in the days gone by, wanted to claim exile or to leave that country, they would go to an embassy and get in and ask for, you know, I can't think what they call it now. What's it called? No, not Pentecost. Possibly that, or I want to disavow being a citizen of this country, and I want to clemency of, you know, join. I want to go to America type thing, you know, and they go to that building because of the powers and things that are there. And so now, if we look at that, and that's how cool it is that God has set up His kingdom. You know, as Miles was teaching, we can look in the natural to see how kingdoms and how things are organized and all this, and understand this is how the Lord's kingdom is about. And we find out that the only difference and the big difference between the two of them is that man's form of government in most countries that we are a part of in this America is a democracy. You know, we can vote and we can choose and blah, 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 all this. Now, there's other countries out there that it's not a democracy, you know, and it's a totalitarian type thing, and it's this way and my way and no way type thing. Well, in a representation kind of like that, but God is like that. As we are in His kingdom, the things that God wants us to do, the things that God requests or tells us that we need to be doing, it's not really up for discussion, is it? He's the king. You know, we talk about the king, Jesus the king, you know. And so there's an authority, and he spoke that of God because he says, I don't say anything or do anything with what the Father doesn't tell me or show me to do. That's hierarchy. That's from power from the top down, and it goes. There is no thing from the power up and the people down here saying, well, you know what, God, I think rather than salvation this way, I think I would like to have it this way, and could we put that in part of this work and all that? No. This is the way it's going to be. Well, isn't there other ways to get into heaven besides receiving Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? No. Well, if I pay my tithes and go to church, does that make me a good person and I'm rich? Will that get me into the kingdom of God? No. Well, how does this work, God? He says it's simple. It's all right there in your mandate. It's right there. Read it. Follow it, and you'll be fine. You'll be good to go. You don't need to add to it. You don't need to take away from it. That's God's order of doing things. I'm glad that He was that way. And we, sometimes, even as we become born again and receive Christ, and we're a new creature, and we're going, you know, our spirit is alive now and connected to the Holy Spirit, and we're just flowing in those things. There are still times that we have a hard time adjusting to that, because there's still a little bit of us in us, Anybody got any of you in you? The flesh is still there, you know. Sometimes it'd be so great, you know, that once you receive Christ, you just forget everything else, and that's it, you know. You just be seared to that. But your mind continues to go. You've got things that you think about, things that you ponder. And it's a process of getting closer to what the kingdom is all about. And so as we look at 1 Thessalonians, where it says, now God has called you into his own kingdom and glory. Isn't that great to be called? Why does he do that? Because he loves you. Why does he call you into his kingdom? Because he wants you. Isn't it great to be loved? Isn't it great to be wanted? Ask people out on the street that don't have that feeling. They're empty. Nobody wants me. I'm not here for any reason. All kinds of things out there. But God loves us. God wants us. He's called us into his own kingdom. Now, just a couple of things that he's called us into his own kingdom. 1 Corinthians, just quickly, I'm just going to go 1:9, says the same thing. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Called us. Man, it's like, you know, when people are around and you're wanting to do things, they go, hey, man, what's going on the weekend? Well, I don't know, but if you do something, give me a call. You know, I might want to go with you. Well, we've been called. You've been called. Say, I've been called. Have you answered it? Amen. Amen. Okay, good. And then it says that you would walk worthy of God. How do you walk worthy of God? Well, I'm going to go to Ephesians 4:1. And I'm going to say this, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you were called. So you've been called, right? Well, how are you going to do that now that I've been called? Ephesians 4:1 and 2. It says this in 2. You've been called with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, when I read those, lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing in love, I would like to meet that person. How about you? That sounds like a neat person to talk to and be around, because they're not going to be uppity-uppy on themselves. They're going to be speaking gently. They're going to be gentle with me. They're going to be patient, long-suffering. They're going to be... some of us need more patience. Some of us need people around us to be more patient than what we are patient sometimes. You know, it's like, be patient, please. The Lord is still working on me. You know? But I would love to see this person. Lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with love with me, he endeavoring to keep the unity, of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That's Southern talk, y'all. But isn't that great to know there is one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one... And that's what it's all about in the kingdom of God. It's just one thing that's been done all this. It's not splintered out there. There's not 15 different things that you've got to do. There's not 12 ways to be baptized. There's not 6 ways to be called. There's not 3 things to do this. It's one thing, one body, one Spirit, one faith, one baptism. Thank God, one God and Father of all. So that's talking about the kingdom of responding to God's call to be in the kingdom of God and to fulfill the kingdom of God, and that in your life, you've got to respond to those things. You've got to be working on lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, patience, or whatever you want to call it, and endeavoring all these things. And we're all working on those things, aren't we? And that's a part of being working in the kingdom. And then we talked about here, where are we at here? Oops. Well, we already talked about this, about repenting and all that. So we, you know, you've got to goodness, this thing keeps jumping around on me. Receive it as a gift. You know, you have to repent, respond to God's calling, receive it as that, repent of your sins. And then it talks about following Jesus. We got to follow. You got to follow somebody in life, don't you? Aren't we all following somebody or someone or some way of living? And so what better way than to follow that of Jesus? Matthew 19:21. Let's see. I'm going to pull these out. Matthew 19:21. I think this is going to take us to where, reading on some of this, that well, I think that's the word. Wait. Okay, let's look at this. I've got ahead of myself. We're following Jesus. Matthew 19, let's see, 21. Oh, okay, we have shared on this. This was kind of throwing me out. In the very beginning of opening up this kingdom thought process, and it's talking about that rich young man and saying, what do I lack? Because I kept everything that I'm supposed to. And Jesus is saying, well, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. Story goes, and we know it's where that rich man went away what? Sorrowful. For he had great possessions. And then Jesus went on to tell this in the things that in 23 to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. It just, when you read that, you know, there's some thought processes as far as what he was alluding to, the eye of a needle and the king and the camel and all that. But if he looked at it, if nothing else, he's just exaggerating a lot on, you know, that as an example. He's saying it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle, really, you know, than for that rich man. He was just saying that you can't buy your way into heaven. You can't just store up all these things and think that, well, you've got it made. And so there's a certain way and a way that we have to live our lives by following that of what Jesus has said and given us an example. Now, it's not necessarily that we are mandated to go out and sell everything and give everything away. There's responsibilities within each and every one of us for maintaining a house and taking care of our family and doing what we're to be responsible for. So it's not that. But it's also looking at, though, there might be a time that Jesus might give you a thought process to say, Tim, you've got that, and so-and-so would like something like that, and you've got it. I would like for you to give that to that person. The thing is, how fast do I hear that? How fast do I respond to that? And then do I put actions to that? And hopefully that I can do that. How about you? You know, I've heard testimonies of people have said, well, the Lord has spoke to me about doing this or giving this away, and I did that, and I was being faithful. That's, praise God, that's what you were, being faithful. You heard from God, and he just said, give it. And it could be something that, and it's not, the, and it's not, he's generally not going to tell you to give something that's broken. Really, God, hey, I got the same thing here, it's broke. Can I give that and have the same thought? No. You give them the best one. You give the one that's working. Make sure it's working, or whatever the case might be. We have in this church is throughout times I've seen people, you know, give all kinds of stuff away to people, appliances, vehicles, you name it. You know, as the Lord has prompted people to share these things and to give these things out, and I've been. I have received something from someone that gave to me. Has anybody else in here ever received something from somebody just giving something to you? I hope a few of us have. Well, the rest of you just hold on. It'll happen. You know? It'll happen. It's just an amazing thing how it works out. But anyway, it's like, you know, that rich man is talking about, well, how do I follow you? And then it looks in this next area here that, you know, you can keep all the commandments, you can keep all these things, you can do all these things that you think is right because it appears right for us because it's like, well, I did this, I did that, I followed this commandment, I did all these things, but there's yet one thing that you've not done. Then this guy was just testing Jesus just to see, you know, hey, you know, I've done all this stuff. You know, he's almost like kind of prideful there a little bit, you know, because he says, well, all these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack? You know, I can kind of see this impossible. Maybe not. I wasn't there. Maybe a smirk on his face or something. I don't know. Maybe not. But it's just that, well, I've done all this. What more do I lack, Lord? You know? So Jesus really got right down to it. And who knows what would have happened? The whole story could have changed had he had what? Given what he had away. But instead, he went away sorrowful. And I hope that we don't do that in our lives on this side of heaven and where we're at with God, that when he talks to us and asks us to do things, and this was just talking about, well, I've done all this, what more do I need to do? It could be in your own prayer time and your own meditation asking, well, Lord, I think I've got this and this taken care of. I hope I pleased you with that and honored you and brought glory to you in that. But what else, Lord, is there that I should look at or do that would just continue to help me develop in that? And I just pray that whatever he tells me, that I can respond and say, okay, I'll do it. Because I would hate to turn away and go away sorrowful and thinking like, oh, I can't do that. It talks also of persevering in our faith. Acts 14:22. What does that say? You know, we're just like, you know, how we're entering into this and what this is all about. The kingdom and the things that we need to do and try to stay up on these things. 14:22, it says, and then when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, okay, so they did all that and they're returning back to where they came, strengthening the souls of the disciples in verse 22, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying that we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Now, that's a pretty hard sell to go out and to sell that to people in this day and age to sit there and say, well, if I tell you what, I got a great place. It's all prepared for you, the kingdom of God, and this is how you're going to get there. Much tribulation. That would not sell a lot of tickets, I don't think. But in the thing and in the scope of the things of the kingdom of God, and even with Jesus and all of our beginning and our walk and our maturing and our perfecting with him, he is always, and you find these words and you find this notice out there, with many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Well, let's see here. So he's going on, we must through many, and this is tribulations, pressures, through oppression, stress, anguish, adversity, afflictions, crushing or squashing or squeezing, distress, do all these things, then we'll enter into that of the kingdom of God. So when we see that as far as tribulations, it covers a gamut of what tribulations are. And I think we could all kind of go together and say, well, I can pretty well figure out what, you know, crushing is and stress and all this stuff, the squeezing taking place. But these are the things that he was saying. So as we look at persevering in our faith, and it's perfecting of our faith, it's for maturing of our faith that we go through these things, through adversity, through problems, through situations. But there is one good thing about it that you can, if you can hold on long enough, if you can continue to keep in prayer, continue to hold the faith, is that there is an end to that. Amen. And I don't know where, I don't know how, and I don't know where it's going to come about, but I just know that my God is there. And I will get through it or over it or around it or whatever the case might be. The thing is that it may not accomplish what, or may not come to what I wanted it to truly to turn out to be, but I do know and I do trust my God that he knows better for what I need than I know what I need. Now, many of us think that we know what I need. Well, I know what I need throughout the day. I need water and food and this and rest and all these things to be able to sustain life, and that is true. But we also know in the deeper walk of things and where we are going in life that God knows truly what I need and that what I'm going to deal with and how I'm going to deal with it, it all helps me perfecting myself and maturing myself, and as long as I can keep my eye on that kingdom and realizing that, you know, my kingdom is not my kingdom. It's his kingdom, but I want to be a part of it. And so if I can get out of working my kingdom and say, I want your kingdom and I want to be used in your kingdom, God, he will take that and we will be used in his kingdom. And it's going to be on this side of heaven. That's what this whole message is about, is to let you guys know that the kingdom of God is here right now. It'll be perfected totally when Jesus comes back for the second coming. But there is the point of the kingdom right now, wherever you go. Just think of yourself, because it talks about us as when the Spirit is within us, wherever we go, we are the church. Hallelujah. You know, separation of church and state ain't going to be no such thing, because when I go to work and I work in a public school, if I even worked in a government office, the church, I am the church, and I'm sitting at the desk in the courthouse. Hallelujah, the church is there. Well, don't tell ACLU, because they'll get bent out of shape. You know, but that's the power, and that's how God works, because he knows that he puts himself within us, and wherever we go, we make a difference. Wherever we go, there goes the light. Because there's a lot of darkness out there in our world, in our companies, in our neighborhoods, in our wherever. Well, darkness is out there. And so praise God that that's how God's got this all figured out. So if I am be the church, as the Spirit of God is in me, and I am the church, I love joining you guys here in this building, but I like looking at all you little steeples out there. And then when I leave here and go out there, praise God, the world can't say, you can't go into that courthouse because you're a church. Well, I'm going to go into that courthouse because I work there. Well, I'm going to go to that school because I work there. Well, I'm going to the Capitol because I work there. The kingdom of God is spread out, and it's everywhere. And that's what this is about being the kingdom of God, is that we are out there, and the enemy can't do nothing about it. Oh, the enemy might, you know, come up with tribulations and problems and try to trip you up and cause you this or that. But you've got to stand up and go, but I am not of this world. My kingdom, just like Jesus, my kingdom is not of this world. You know, I'm joint heirs with Jesus. He traveled this sod, I'm traveling this sod, and I'm going somewhere better. When I get called home, fine and dandy. But until then, look out, because I'm kingdom. I'm the kingdom walking through here. Hallelujah. Jesus is with me. The Spirit of God is upon me. The Spirit of God is leading me. The Spirit of God is telling me what to say or what not to say. There's things that we say. There's things that we shouldn't say. There's things when we say it at a certain time. And there's some kingdom stuff you don't say at a certain time. There's a point and a place and a time for all this to come out. Because you could go out there and do some things and it's like implode. But you just have to go. Got to be even keel. Just even keel. Just got to be out there listening. Being that by Spirit-filled, Spirit-led. And then respond when the Spirit tells you to. Where are we at here? Oh, anyway. So, we go forth. Talks about here. Just quickly, Paul's not only taught this, that the joy and the peace of the kingdom of God in Romans, it's the power in 1 Corinthians, it's the present authority to cause the believer to triumph over evil in 2 Timothy, and goes on about all these different side notes here. But he also taught that kingdom people experience trials and sufferings and not always an instant victory. How many here have not had an instant victory? Well, okay, we're all counted among the norm. Triumph and victory may categorize the attitude of each citizen of the kingdom of God, and the Holy Spirit-empowered authority is given to be applied to realize results. Yet, God did not promise life without struggle, the dominion being recovered through the presence of the King within us and ministering by the Holy Spirit's power through us is never taught by the apostles as preempting or all suffering. We go on to read this. It just talks about that there is times of where, you know, there's going to be those weaknesses that we have. But where I am weak, he is strong. When I am falling, he's going to pick me up. When I don't have the words to say, he's going to give me the words to say. It's just that it's kind of hard to believe yourself as a weak vessel, but you're a powerful vessel. You're a weak vessel, but with the Holy Spirit in you, you got dunamis power that is there to be called upon at when it needs to be called upon. So these are things of the kingdom of God that we walk about and are a part about in this life. And I'm happy about that. It's just like, I'm happy about that. It's just like you got that power within you. Hallelujah. You know, as a kid on the playground, you always maybe were kicks dust in your face and rocks on you, you know, because you're like the little one on the playground, or they always had a bully there that always wanted to, you know, do something and push you down and stop it, push you down, stop it, you know. But now as we grow up and we have the things of God's kingdom in us, we just know who we are in Christ. And praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I love thinking back when I was a kid. I don't know why, but I do. Just think back to things that happened in your life, you know? And it's just like, wow, Lord, that was awesome. That was neat. We don't have enough time for me to share all that, but it was good, Lord. It was good, you know? Hallelujah. So then we get into this area of, well, what is the kingdom like? And this is where, you know, we get into the Matthew 5:1. You can just there, we'll touch upon a little bit. We'll just go through a little bit of this now. Maybe go through about the 7 or 8 areas of the kingdom within this. Talks about the Sermon on the Mount. This is like the longest message, the longest sermon really Jesus gave in his time. The Sermon on the Mount, it goes for a long time. I wonder if he stopped and had a cup of water or something. I don't know. But he talked and he shared and he gave all kinds of examples. So we find it in the Sermon on the Mount talking about the kingdom. We find it as also in there he teaches as we get into like back in 6, talking about the Lord's Prayer, the kingdom, the thoughts, the kingdom. So let's look at this quickly here. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus outlines the primary attributes of people who receive the rule of the kingdom that he brings. Okay, so he's bringing about the rules of the kingdom that he has brought to them. Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, I said God at the first, but kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. Remember, we talked about this. You find it interchangeable throughout the New Testament. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. There's some really try to put a lot of things to it, like they're both different, but they're not. There are most studies and things you read about is it's a very interchangeable thing. Kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. We're discussing and talking the similarities of things. So we find in chapter 5, 6, and in the 7 here that there is, I think, 9 direct references to the kingdom. We touched upon the first two, right, in the Beatitudes, where he says, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit, just realizing that you need, you know, you're a bad person, you need betterment, you need to be, you know, salvation, you know, just you're kind of like, oh, boy. Poor in spirit, for they shall have the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, they will be comforted. Mourning, knowing that you need salvation there. It's just knowing that you need something more than what you've got. So we look at that, and then we drop down to 5:10, where it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we find out as we visit through this that there's 9 direct references to the kingdom. Humility is in 5:3. Then we find that in 5:10, willingness to suffer persecution is part of that kingdom. So, and it does say, persecute for the righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then we get into the attention to God's commandments in 5:19. Now we're going to move into the chapter 5, leaving the Beatitudes, go to 5:19. It says, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So this is talking about the attention to God's commandments. We find it in 4, so that's like the 3rd and 4th kingdom reference out of 9 in this particular chapter, or this particular dissertation as we go through it. It'll be a couple of chapters here. And then we find in, refusal to substitute false pity for genuine right behavior in 5:20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. For I say that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means, my goodness. Talks about entrance into the kingdom is by righteousness of the heart, not by hypocritical or hypocrisy or external legalism. And that's what we find a lot of the Pharisees and those of the earliness, they're talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, is they had a lot of external legalisms and a lot of hypocrisy within that. Such righteousness is possibly only, or is possible only through the Messiah's personal reign. So we find that, okay, maintaining God's commandments, and then looking at refusal to substitute false pity for genuine right behavior with God. A life of prayer, you know, if we went to 6:10, Matthew 6:10, you will find that is like the number sixth, I think, realm of that. And that is in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. So we find it in prayer, and we find it at the end of that in 6:13 as well, that he is saying that, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So part of this kingdom, how do we follow the kingdom? What is this kingdom made up of? We found it now as far as prayer and our prayer life. Prioritizing spiritual over material values, that there in 6:33, you know, we would have looked at that as, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And that was going back, if you look at the very top of that, it's like, do not worry, looking through that whole dissertation about the birds in the air, and they neither sow nor reap, but they are taken care of by the Heavenly Father, the clothes that you wear, the grass, and all this. It just gets to that point, here again, that prioritizing spiritual over material values. We have to change our whole thought process. We have to change our whole thinking to get out of this natural type stuff into that spiritual realm, because the kingdom, the thought process of where we're at within that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And to find out what all these things will be added, just go back up through all the verses before that, and all these things will be added to you. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to prepare and store and gather and all this type stuff to a point. You know, I've got to, you know, we do go shopping once every couple of weeks, and we have food in the pantry, so I guess we are storing a little bit, you know, type of a thing. But as far as a lot of this, as far as, you know, you get into, remember that old Y2K thing and all that, and people were storing food for like 6 months or 8 months, and they had canisters and beans and seed. We had seed people gave us out here at the church that I couldn't, we tried to give it away at pantry. People didn't know what to do with it. It's like, well, raw beans, what are these? It's not in a package? How do I cook these things? Well, you soak them, you boil them, you know. It's like, oh, we got to go through a whole cooking show here. You know, we had all the supplies and containers and tubs. Wow. We were, not that we as a church, but people that had did that, it was interesting. After about 2 years later, they still had all the stuff, and they go, could you guys use some seeds and some barley and all that? You know, it's like, sure, bring it out. The white buckets are really good to have after you dump the stuff out. It's like, what is this stuff, you know? I know one of the gentlemen in our church back then, his cattle ate pretty good. He goes, well, I'll feed it to my cows. Well, they're like living high on the hog, you know, barley and wheat and all this stuff, you know. But it was one of those things. And that's how we get to that point where we got to store up, we got to protect, and we got to have all this stuff here, you know. And there's a level of preparation and all that, and there's all kinds of stuff out there. I mean, I don't want to get into that. You just have to be where you feel comfortable with preparation, I guess. But some of this stuff gets kind of crazy at times. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And then quickly we end up with, let's see, 7:21, and above all things, acknowledge Christ as lordship by obeying the will of God. 7:21, and it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And that's when I will declare to them that I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So it talks about in this area here, there's many false prophets who pretend to be guides for Christians or Christian guides, but those whose real purpose is selfish and destructive. We must test those claiming to be prophesying by their fruit, that is, by their lifestyle, by their character, by their teaching, by their influence, and see where this is taking us. And so this is there's a cautiousness in all this, you know, because we have seen some things go awry in this kingdom thought process to where a lot of people, rather than putting their trust into God, they put their trust into this ministry or into this man or into this organization, and the organization was saying good things. You know, but it was said in the wrong attitude of what they had an ulterior motive possibly, okay? And so that's those things that we've got to be careful of and not be duped, you know? You got to be wise into these things, even within our kingdoms and the things that are out there. But we can do that with God, okay? Not to run scared. It's not to say, oh, well, that's going to be me or that's going to happen to me. Not that at all. But anyway, that's some things as far as what the kingdom is like. You looked at it in the Sermon on the Mount and through the teachings that Jesus shared on one of the longest, if not the longest, sermon that he gave through 5, 6, and 7. We've already talked about it. It's described in parables. What's this kingdom like? Read the parables. Jesus shares all of that in that. And then it talks about life of joy and peace in the kingdom. You know, isn't that great that you can have joy and peace? Joy and peace. That's what a lot of people need right now is joy and peace, you know, the things that are going on. So we'll wrap up probably next week the finality of this process of the kingdom. We'll probably look at some areas for praying for it, seeking it, working for it, and suffering for it, whatever it might be. Because ultimately we just want to get to that point of being effective. You know, and have that effective for those around us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. As we wrap up here, it's right at a little after 12. Be alert this week. Be alert for things that God is doing or has done for you. And even come next week, possibly with a testimony, you know. Praise God. He'll just do some great things. Thank you, Father.